Blog Talk Radio.
You know what? We should just move. Do you agree? We should just move. Am I muted? Where's Ginger?
Oh, there we go. Sorry. My mic was muted that time.
This is the way I'm feeling today. Let me just go ahead. I feel this way today.
Okay.
Love will sting like the cottonseed. I hear my kind in a coma freeze. I hear my kind in a coma freeze. Lonely.
Minding my own business. I get up. It's been an exhale on all my digital devices today.
Oh, what happened there, girl?
Okay. You all heard me last week talking about that I was downloading those little digital assistants like Siri. So one of them, even though I deleted her, decided that she needed, I guess, before as a departing gift, she gave. Okay, now my stuff don't want to mute. Really?
Nice.
See? But anyway, she changed some of my alarms around. So I have alarms for everything, you know, if I fall asleep or I'm not paying attention. And that's why I wanted an assistant, so that the assistant could speak, you know, and get my attention, because I don't always pay attention. So I had an alarm set 2 hours ago. Two. Nothing. I was getting
it worked out so well, did it?
Yes, I was getting a nice nap. Now, luckily, I have a second alarm set right before the show, but usually I'm doing something right before the show, so it's to remind me, okay, stop, and make sure everything is set up. So it was actually, instead of it saying stop, it was waking me up. I was like, what the hell? What time is it? Oh, my God. So I, of course, look at my alarms, and it says alarm set by assistant. I was like, that flipping beep.
Genie, nice. I love that.
Oh, God. What happened to all my alarms? Anyway, good morning, you guys. It's Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay! It is us. Oh, my God. I'm so sleepy this morning. I'm a little slow.
You should be sleepy. Ginger and I were up. Well, you were watching the feed. You know we were up.
I know. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
We are out of control last night.
Yeah. But I had to finish that outfit. It was bugging me. I had to.
Minute. How many hats did I manage to get done?
I don't know. It seemed like a ton. Good morning, Joe. Did I already say that? I'm a little sleepy. So, good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you there, Joe. Oh, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
I got a mouthful of chili. That was good.
I had to go and steal some caffeinated beverage. I couldn't do it. I was trying to go without caffeine. And screw that. Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on in the world. Okay, this sucks.
There's a little bit going on. First, I want to talk about, what was it? I wanted to talk about a beta. I wanted to do this for Miss Corey could get to it, and I want to actually...
What about that beta yesterday? Was it the beta? I want the one with the pirate ships yesterday. That's what I want.
Oh, I know you absolutely want what I'm about to show you.
Is it there are pirates in it? Is Ryan Gosling in it? Keanu Reeves? Any of those people?
No. But you're going to love it. You are going to love it. All right. So, calling all beta applicants. SimCity beta registration ends January 20. You know what? Hold on.
Okay.
I did this wrong, and it's not working correctly.
I am already in that beta. They opened it back up because I'm supposed to, you know, let me check my email.
They did not include Miss Corey, apparently. All right, so let me start this over, people. There we go. All right, so starting on the beta registration ends January 21st, so you only have 3 days to get in. Beta starts 4 days later, January 25th, PC fans get a chance to play SimCity with its groundbreaking simulation engine Glassbox in advance of its March 8th launch. The day that mayors have been clamoring for is almost here. EA, the Devils, have today announced that SimCity Beta will return January 25th through the 28th, so it's only 3 days. Those who previously signed up are already in consideration for access to the beta. Limited slots are still available for late applicants. Eager fans who want to get an advanced look at SimCity have a limited time to sign up for SimCity at simcity.com/beta. On January 21st. All right, so who's talking here? Lucy Bradshaw, Senior Vice President and General Manager of EA's Maxis label, says...
Wait a minute. She's what now? What is her title now?
She is the... What did I say? General...
Senior Vice President?
A Senior Vice President and General Manager.
Holy cow, Lucy. I did not know you had risen to such heights. You go, girl. Work!
You need a lap warmer. It is always an exciting moment to share a game that is still in development with its biggest fans prior to launch. This beta will help the team improve the live service aspect of SimCity to ensure a smooth and user-friendly experience at launch. I want to thank everyone for signing up. We are excited to share one of our most beloved franchises with our fans. Running from 5 p.m. GMT on January 25th until 8 a.m. GMT on January 28th, the SimCity beta offers fans the chance to play a one-hour slice of the game. Yay! All right, so you get one whole hour of the game. Mm-hmm.
Let me get this straight. You all think people that play SimCity are going to be able to play in an hour. You really think that's all? Let's go. You all are sadly mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Poor Corey.
Delusional, even. Anyway, at least Lucy's news is good news. Ginger, while I take a look at this, Ginger, I sent you a link.
Not yet.
Hold it off yet.
It's on the new Office Outlook web access.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
Okay, let me just break it down. See, I tried to copy and paste, but it didn't work right. Okay, so there you go. You go right there. Because that's where we be going. I think somebody put in the wrong link. Okay.
Oh, my God. Where's the noise? Sound off. There we go.
You know what that sound is. And
I do know what that sound is, and my soul is already lost.
Yes, go ahead and start that up. All right, we've all been waiting for it. You've been listening to us have our little dubstep of it here on the show every so often. I may run it today after the show, not safe for work. Tetris! That's right, Hasbro and the Tetris Company are announcing a new face-to-face game based on world-famous game Tetris. Hasbro, of course, a leading global leader, they say, in gaming. You know, this is going to be like this the whole show. Y'all just get ready. I'm having flashbacks to, like, my heavy club days where I'd be like, okay, it's Friday.
Is this on the PC?
I'm getting to it. Okay, so, of course, I'll tell you about the club thing later. Okay, so for almost 30 years, the Tetris game has been played by hundreds of millions of people all across on every mobile device and video gaming platform. Yes, every single one. Hank, how do you think you're going to do? Smith Rogers, there you go. Managing director, see that works for first name too. The managing director of the Tetris Company says that we are thrilled to be teaming up with Hasbro to expand the Tetris brand and give their fans a challenging face-to-face format to experience the Tetris effect. Hot, right? That's right. Hasbro will be introducing two new games the fall of this year based on Tetris. The new Bop It Tetris games will allow you to match traditional Tetris blocks shaped like lights or light-shaped Tetris blocks, and it'll get faster and faster as the levels go higher. Also, Hasbro's new Jenga Tetris. I've been wondering how come they didn't make that. I thought about that a long time ago. It'll combine two of the world's best-known stacking games, challenging players to push and pull the stacks of Tetris blocks and shapes into a Jenga tower. These games will be launching globally in August 2013. Tetris brands, of course, have been sold worldwide and sold in more than 50 languages, with hundreds of millions of games sold over the last 29 years. The Tetris brand is stronger than ever. It continues to grow every year. 35 million Tetris games are played online daily, in case you were wondering, and over 1 billion.
That is so sexy.
Yeah, and 1 billion played on a monthly basis. The Tetris games are played in 95% of the world in over 185 countries. And you know what they just said? What, Angry Birds? What?
I know, right? Seriously, this is on my phone, and I will play this. for hours and hours and hours on end.
I
bought those watches.
That's
those
true.
Little Tetris watches? Those are so
cute. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Baby Natrix has a little small version of Tetris that I got her. And I think we had an iPad. I had it on phone. I think she has it on her phone. Tetris is one of those, you say, I don't want to play this stupid game. And next thing you know, it's 6 hours later. And it don't even
Seriously.
Have a storyline.
Seriously.
Has no story
I mean, Tetris came out, and then Dr. Mario, of course, because Nintendo had to have their knockoff. And Tetris was always just amazing. I've played it on every console, I think. All my computers, my phone has it. I love Tetris.
I used to get in trouble at work when I worked at Enron. Remember those people? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I worked at Enron, and they made the stupid mistake of having games on their computers. Man, they had the standard boring ones, you know, the solitaire, some Mahjong, but they messed up and put Tetris.
Mahjong's another one that'll just suck me in for days.
Yeah, it'll suck you in, but it didn't suck me in like the Tetris. I remember it's lunch break? Oh, you guys are leaving, right? Because I'm getting ready to play Tetris, and it's going to get ugly.
Hot.
Yeah, it's going to be. Y'all might want to leave. Might want to clear the area.
Just a little bit.
Look, I'm going to eat these cookies, and I'm going to play me some Tetris.
Jay, every time you ask us if you want to play games, we get on, and you don't show up.
Yeah,
From Fallen Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you do. You've been playing a while. You come play with us this time. Download Fallen Earth. Joe is in playing. Yep, you're not even got to spend any money, not going to even have to leave the house. And there's zombies in Fallen Earth. And there's zombies in Fallen Earth to kill.
Exactly. So Fallen Earth, tonight, Fallen Earth is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And it's even better than WoW because you could actually pick where you're going to hit the zombies in their head, the side of their leg.
Yeah.
You know what I found out is very effective against the zombies in Fallen Earth? A nice leg sweep with a pipe.
Oh, my God. One second, my headphone has decided to go dead. I think somebody is using it while sleeping.
Cut him. That means I need to do another story. What do y'all think? Or should we talk bad about Ginger while she can't hear? So let me tell y'all what Ginger did last night. Last night, Ginger, I'm looking all around like anybody can see me. No, she didn't do anything. I'm not going to tell y'all. Mm-mm. Sisters before mistress. I never tell. Never kiss and tell. Okay, well, I will kiss and tell about Ginger, but I don't kiss and tell. All right, Sega, I don't know what's going on with them.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, you don't even want to know what we were saying about you while you were gone.
I heard something about kiss and tell. I don't know what you were talking about, but I heard something.
I need some cookies. Don't you need cookies? Okay, well, I will tell them about Sega later. Since you're back, you can tell them your story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so... my story, apparently, what was my story going to be? I had one. I got it. I just got to find the right story to match up with. There we go. All right. This is all new stuff, people. All new, and I'm still getting it down. All right. So I want to tell you about Cyberpunk 2077. All right, so a week ago, CD Projekt Red released the first official trailer, which I am now showing y'all, for the upcoming open-world, story-driven, why are you not playing? There we go. Story-driven RPG. By the way, this is not child-friendly. RPG Cyberpunk 2077. It's already been seen over 6 million times. Cyberpunk isn't about saving humanity. It's about saving yourself, says Mike Pondsmith. In the video, Cyberpunk 2077, he explains his inspiration for creating the pen and paper RPG Cyberpunk system, which is the main foundation of CD Projekt Red's video game. Working with Mike Pondsmith is a great experience for the studio, They say, did you know the woman in the teaser trailer is a real-life model? You can see her in the additional behind-the-scenes materials. I've not seen her yet. I was actually looking to see if they could give us some information about the game. So
What's
far,
the name
it doesn't
of the
look like they're going to give us any information. Cyberpunk 2077. So apparently this trailer is just them talking about the game. My bad. I thought it was going to be gameplay. Oh, it's got a couple of pictures in there. You know, SL's got a real whole cyberpunk thing going on in it on its own. So
yeah, there's a big cyberpunk movement going on in Second Life. Very yeah. good.
Yeah, there's actually a role-playing sim, a really good one, made around Cyberpunk.
Yeah, there's one that's beautiful. A vampire one. Then there's a... Actually, I never got you to the steampunk one because I forgot where it was. I have too many awesome Second Life is problem.
I found one, but there was never anybody there. And I was like, well, this is beautiful, but...
Well, this one, look, I'm all crunching and y'all here because it's lunchtime. There is one, there's always people there, but it's, I think it's run by some people in the UK, so that's usually, you know, their time.
No, that just gave me an idea.
Uh-oh.
It's all these people probably did turn around, somebody could open up an RP daycare. Anyway, sorry.
That is a wonderful idea. You're so brilliant to think. Hey, did y'all know that Snow was trending on Google+? I wonder if she knows.
Who is trending on Google+?
No. It's probably
not.
Not
really?
It's not really her, but she just capitalized on it. Are you still in Second Life? Tell her she's trending on Google+.
let me throw a window. She is either not on or I don't have her on that too. So.
It's quite possible. You know she's like Ninja.
Yeah.
And then she'll message you. That's how she'll do. You don't see her and she'll message you, but like, why you ain't talking to me? But I don't see you. Oh. And then your friend invite pops up. And she'll go, why didn't you tell me you couldn't see me? Because I couldn't see you.
That's no. Yeah, girl. Ooh, that girl in it. Video is really pretty. Cyberpunk 2077. Oh, is this some gameplay? Oh, look at oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is cool.
You know what? Here's an interesting thing I just noticed. Okay, so obviously I'm over trying to get into SimCity Beta along with Joe. Joe, I know you're trying to get in there. Mm-hmm. This is the second time I signed up. PlayStation Network, now, you know how you have the login where you can log in with your Facebook or your Twitter? I'm starting to see a lot more of the PlayStation Network. Click here to log in with your PlayStation ID. How come mm-hmm. Xbox hasn't done that?
I don't know. That is interesting.
That's going to start a whole... Yeah.
Oh, my God. What the hell is on her arm?
I am not watching it because we are doing news. I would like to point out to Ginger.
This is news. This is news. I was just sharing.
I'm trying to look up. Hey, is that girl naked?
She's not naked. She's got like a bodysuit covered in blood.
What does that help guard against? He's all covered from head to toe, got his night vision glasses on. Why is she naked? No, see.
Well, she had some cool little weapon thing on her arm.
I don't care about that. If somebody has a knife, they will eat you up if they manage to get close to you. You have nothing covering your arms or your legs or your head. people. When are you all going to learn how to design costumes? Like we showed you Remember Me game, that's a good costume. It's managed. We don't mind being sexy. We just want to be covered up. We want to be logical. We put it that way. Hello there, Muriel FX5563, just following us on Twitter. Nice to meet you. I'm going to stop calling people out. Okay, we got to get back to some news at some point. Ginger's got me watching this freaking trailer. And everybody else is, you know what everybody else is saying, Ginger? Why don't you zoom in on it? Why don't you make it bigger? I can't see anything. Ginger.
Well.
I'm just saying. All right, the lovely people over at, who are you guys? Games Campus. Yay, thank you guys for sending this over. They have something good going on, and why do some of you never send us trailers? They'll send it after a watch. They'll be like, you can put this trailer with the news. No, honey, we're live. Okay, so anyway, leading online game publisher, GameCampus.com, launched the second annual U.S. versus European territories occupational war event designed for players across the globe to fight for their nation and become the ultimate hero in the sky, beginning at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that is in an hour, or a little less than an hour. Running through January 20th, players can participate in the ultimate transatlantic battle now at... actually, let me go ahead and give Ginger that link. She can toss that up so you can see the site so you know you're in the right place. There you go. Yeah, it's an aerial combat MMO based on World War II. Okay, I think I'm in this one. I love a game based on World War II. Love it. Heroes in the Sky, of course, is known globally for its unique gameplay and easy-to-master controls. Now, Flying Aces can put their skills to the test as they enter the occupational war on an alternate reality map where the United States and Europe battle across the Atlantic, competing head-to-head in massive aerial dogfights and ultimately prove their dominance. Ginger, did we lose you?
No, there you go.
So this event is designed to show our gratitude to all the players who have shown such a deep interest in Heroes in the Sky. And this is from Michael Walker, who's the associate producer over at Games Campus. He says, we prepared a spectacular event where everyone can participate and enjoy this ultimate battle with friends. The official second annual U.S. versus EU Occupational War will be held starting today through the 20th. Is available to all players with accounts on either service for new and returning players. And now is the perfect time to experience high-flying combat, since the Occupational War will feature balanced accounts, putting everyone on even footing. So if you've been playing and you're like level 155, you won't be. Additionally, the event will also feature unique event rewards. Players can now get signed up at the link you see Ginger put up. See that lovely website?
I did.
Okay, Chrome is eating Windows today. Chrome, we're going to break up. Oh, yeah, there it is. That, you sent it to that lovely website.
Because I promised I put it up. It's all
I. Oh, no, I believe you. It's just Chrome decided it was going to eat my window just as I was get to look
Chrome,
at it.
You better leave me alone, Chrome.
They best back off. Of course, Heroes in
get
the Sky again.
Production.
Heroes in the Sky is being published in Korea, Japan, the U.S., Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Europe. And it is supposed to be, it actually is a kind of a genre of its own. MMOTPS, right? Has Impact PvE, fast-paced PvP, and controls the events from the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, MMO, T is in Tom, P is in Paul, S is in Sam, and it chronicles the events from the beginning to the end of World War II. PvP combat, they're saying, is taken to a new level, as you must not only worry about the basic dangers from the front, behind, and sides, but also from above and below. Heroes in the Sky is dogfighting, cannon fires, machine gun blasts, missiles, bombs, and it, you can be up to 16 players playing at once. It's supposed to feature some of the most famous World War II aircraft in history. Ah! And you'll, of course, soar across the sky. You can bomb cities, sink boats, burst blimps, and more. All this is supposed to unfold as you compete to become the top ace in Heroes in the Sky. You know what? I like this, but I would also like it better if I could be on the ground, if I could switch it up, because I might want to try out a plane once, and then I might want to be on the ship. I might want to be, you know, a ground troop. I need somebody to create that. I need somebody to create that game for me, an MMO.
Yeah, exactly.
One that I found, is, I don't think it's around anymore, but I would love that.
All right, so Antechamber, yay! I want to jump right on into this, at least try to. Yo, stop window. Okay. All right, IGF award-winning game Antechamber will be available coming January 31st. Hey, hit play, there we go. Independent developer Alexander Bruce is pleased to announce his award-winning psychological exploration game Antechamber will be available to the public starting January 31st for the PC via Steam. And Chamber has been making the rounds in competitions and at conferences for the past several years, being recognized with over 25 awards and honors throughout its development from major festivals, including the Independent Games Festival, PAX 10, IndieCade, and Make Something Unreal. In April 2012, Antechamber was honored with the seventh game to be backed by the Indie Fund. Antechamber is a mind-bending, psychological exploration game where nothing can be taken for granted. Players will discover an Escher-like world where hallways wrap around upon each other, spaces reconfigure themselves, and accomplishing the impossible may be just the only way forward. A deeply psychological experience that will make the player question everything they know about the game, mind-bending challenges that will subvert the player's expectations at every twist and turn, an enormous, seamless, non-Euclidean world for players to explore with several hundred unique and unusual puzzles to solve. Please don't use words I've never heard before. Oh, my God. Lifelike soundscapes developed by Robin Arnott and an ambient soundtrack composed by Smith. A gun that can create, destroy, and manipulate matter, allowing the player to discover new ways to overcome their surroundings. This actually does sound kind of cool. So anyways, this is Antechamber. I just put you up a video for it. I hope you liked it. We've got more information up on it at GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Go over there, check it out. If you've not seen the new website, Corey's done a lot of good work on it. It's looking really, really, really good. Really, really, really good.
You know, I look how I'm just talking to myself. I said, yeah, we're getting there slowly but surely. I'm still filling out my thing for SimCity. I love how they say, how many hours a week did you play SimCity 4? Did I stop playing? did you stop playing SimCity 4 would be the question you need to be asking me. Because I did not stop until I think I lost that computer. Oh, my God. I love me some SimCity. You all don't even know. You have no idea. Are we supposed to be, am I supposed to be talking?
It is kind of your turn, woman.
It's my turn already?
Just like, a little bit.
Y'all are interrupting me. You see, I'm busy. Okay. Well, P-Cube is confirming that they are having a release for NG Moto. I keep wanting to call them NG Moto. They're not that anymore. MotoGP. You're supposed to be able to compete in this year's MotoGP season on your PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and Xbox 360, and, of course, on your computer. P-Cube is in partnership with Milestone and said they are very proud to announce the latest installment of the most realistic motorbike game. And I'm trying to see if they gave us – they did give us a YouTube video, which I should probably give to the Ginger. It wasn't showing up for some reason. My gadgets are failing me today. My gadgets and computers and stuff are failing me today. I don't know why. So while Ginger pops that up, speed, emotion, skill. Those are essential elements mixed with an adrenaline-fueled...
Oh, yeah, I already had that one. Yay! Okay, cool.
...into the world of MotoGP like never before. With genre-leading graphics, Milestone's new project will bring players into the 2013 championship through the eyes of a real MotoGP rider. The main game modes include official MotoGP, and this gives you the unique opportunity to experience the 2013 MotoGP Worldwide Championship. You can also try the exclusive
MotoGP
test or Insanity. Sorry. Hit the track for quick race. Gosh, I suck today. Shut up, Ginger. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that in your head.
Say a thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is supposed to say this. I lost my place. Never scroll. Okay, so there's also multiplayer, which recreates exciting events inspired by reality. You can play online with your friends or against the rest of the world. You against the world. There's also MotoGP 13, which includes all the official tracks and riders of the 2013 MotoGP session. The game was built from the ground up using a brand new game engine, which brings a whole new level of realism to elements such as graphics, physics, bikes, environments, and in-game sound. Yay, yay, yay. You can go over and check this out if you are so inclined to play. Find them on Facebook at MotoGP Video Game. And, of course, you see that lovely trailer you can probably find on our YouTube channel somewhere. I don't know. Or look them up. Twitter hashtag MotoGP Game. I don't know. I don't know if I want to play that one. I've never been much into the motorcycle.
I'm not really into that whole kind of thing.
I don't
know how other people are, but...
I like racing. Well, you know what? I'm not so much as like racing. I loved Burnout, and I'm still waiting for EA to actually bring Burnout back. See that? See how I did that?
Yeah.
That alliteration. Alliteration. Bring Burnout back, because I love the crashes. That was like a whole thing in and of itself to see how much damage I could do. And of course, as you all know, I used to just wreck shop. There's a lot of you that used to. If you ever, there was these guys from France. Yeah, I never knew what they were saying, but I would beat their asses like they stole something in Burnout. That's my genre right there. I will never hit you head on in Halo. I have a few moments in Halo where I may knock you down, and of course, you know, stick your grenade myself and jump in. But a racing game, I will mess you up. Get it?
Dave, what are you doing to your computer?
What is he doing? You know what?
He says he can't play Fallen Earth because he has technical difficulties. It crashes. You know what? Either update your computer, update your driver.
Or depending on where you got it from, too. Because you know what I noticed? I didn't get my Fallen Earth from Steam. And you and Z, when we were trying to play the other night, were having issues, and I do not. Maybe you try getting it from opposite one.
True.
So if you got it from Gamers First, try getting it from Steam, and vice versa. May help. Glad
all right.
That's right. She just grabbed you by the throat.
Is Glad got me?
She had, just for a second, she grabbed you by the throat, and it was a straight shut up beep when she grabbed you.
Glad woman? Be on. All right. So today, apparently, is Internet Freedom Day.
It's not Internet Freedom every day? I thought it was every day.
No, apparently it's today. On January 18th, 2012, something amazing happened. The Internet community advocacy groups, Internet personalities, popular websites, and even some brave politicians banded together to send a message to lawmakers and special interests that backed the poorly crafted SOPA, Stop Online Piracy Act, and PIPA, Protect IP legislation. While there were plenty of emails sent, petitions signed, and phone calls made to lawmakers, it seemed like the mainstream media didn't care, mostly because they were owned by the very same media conglomerates that were pushing for the passage of these bills. It wasn't until rights groups, big and small, internet tech heavyweights, Google, Wikipedia, Reddit, Tumblr, Cheeseburger.com, and etc., and the internet community went black, that was us, or showed their support with more campaigns fighting for internet freedom. Less than 48 hours later, lawmakers waved the white flag of surrender, and media conglomerates and trade groups realized they had been defeated. The internet was winning. The internet on January 18th. God, has it been a whole year? All right, so it is in that spirit that some of these forces who banded together 1 year ago have launched the website internetfreedomday.net and officially declared January 18th, 2013, Internet Freedom Day. The website serves as a hub to present a variety of actions visitors can take in support to the open internet, including a new tradition, asking internet users to share something they love that should never be censored. While we are proud of what we have collectively been able to accomplish, we recognize that the fight continues. This is coming from Jennifer Mercurio, Vice President and General Counsel of the Entertainment Consumers Association. Internet Freedom Day reminds us all to stay alert, engaged, and ready to speak out to protect the rights we currently enjoy. All right, so the website is part of a collective effort to continue to fight for internet freedom and supported by a variety of groups, organizations, and individuals. I would read you that list, but it is long. All right, so again, you can join in the celebrations over at internetfreedomday.net. I am going to be tweeting that out, and I'm going to put it up on the Facebook as well. So check it out. This is amazing, folks. Amazing. God, I cannot believe it's been a year. This does not seem like it's been a year. Look at that. But they've got some awesome stuff up here on Twitter.
All right, I'm doing too much double time. Okay.
Internet freedom. Freedom. Freedom.
Okay, so he got his from, Jay says he got his from Gamers First. See, mine doesn't work.
Gamers First kept lagging for me, so I went to Steam and I have no issue.
My Gamers First one works much better. Steam lags for me. So just depends on your baby, I guess. So try it on. Try it on the other one. See if it works. What was I about to say? And I had something juicy to share with y'all, too.
I don't know. What were you going to say?
I don't even know. I have no idea. And I got so many windows open, so I don't even know where I was. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. I had this one. Yeah, this is actually...
Okay, I'll link my Twitter. Sure, I sure can. It is G-I-N-G-I-R-R. Let me do that.
Who are you talking to?
Somebody is asking for my Twitter.
Honey, you do know you're logged in as the main one, aren't you? Which Twitter are you wanting there, No for 38? You wanting Demon Girls Radio Twitter, or you just want to harass Ginger?
I will give them both. They can have both. They can have both.
I say you harass Ginger, personally.
That is all. We've also got Snow. We've also got Blaster. So check it out.
At Snow White GGR, and you got at Ben J. Meadows. Okay, so we have another hacker, one Mr. Stephen Watt, who was talking about, he's been talking about what went on with Aaron Schwartz, and he said the same thing he said last night. If you missed This Week in Gaming last night, you should go back and listen. For those of you who are just finding us on Twitch, we're also on Blog Talk Radio, like 2-3 years back. So you go look for Gamers Radio, and you can just get all caught up with our euphemisms and all that good stuff. Anyway, okay, so is convicted for the crimes which U.S. Attorney Stephen Hayman was prosecuting him for. Reddit co-founder Aaron Schwartz would have gone to jail for 30 to 35 years, but it was probably the waiting, uncertainty, and personal tax that did more damage to him, according to a fellow hacker and convicted felon Stephen Watt. He says prosecutors do not acknowledge nuance. Is what he told our friends over at VentureBeat today. He said they turn everything into a very clear-cut moral issue where everything is nicely packaged into a predetermined act. Schwartz, of course, downloaded almost 5 million academic articles from JSTOR, a nonprofit that provides access to academic journals. It was probably legal, although JSTOR decided not to pursue legal action. Hayman did, however, and very aggressively. Schwartz, who had a history of depression, committed suicide, of course, just 5 days ago. He says, if you look at Watts said, if you look at these sorts of cases that Haman prosecutes, he does seem to very much enjoy being the first one to accomplish something in a legal sense. He seems to push the envelope, and I have certainly overheard the word bully used to describe Haman. It was a common label. That's something that legal activist Lawrence Lessig highlighted on his blog post about Schwartz's suicide as well. Watt was convicted of helping a criminal group steal 40 million credit cards from TJX. See, he actually did something, okay? That he should have gone to jail for.
That's a little bad.
They stole credit cards from TJX and various retailers after creating a data sniffing software tool for their best friend. According to Watt, he wasn't in the conspiracy and didn't know exactly how his software would be used. He just shared it, as is common in the hacker cracker community, and he didn't receive any of the ill-gotten gains either. Dude, don't be handing over your stuff. What is it? I just had a flashback to The Matrix. Remember when Neo hands the guy the software and says, you get caught using it, I got nothing to do with it? There you go. Did you watch The Matrix there, Haman? Okay, so he says, I acknowledge I'm a much less sympathetic character simply because of the company I kept. See? Watt is a fitness addict who now runs a sports supplement store but is still negotiating with his probation officer over whether he can use computers. And girls, yes, he's very cute if you're looking, you know, and apparently he's smart. He says, what I do know is that in both cases you have actions taken by the defendants which are not in any way criminal. Said and actions are not overtly criminal need to precipitate a much more nuanced investigation and much more appropriate sentencing. He says when it comes to Aaron Schwartz's case, Watt says that the prosecutors used the same damage and punishment matrix they've used for him. Based on the number of files and the calculated damages, Schwartz was facing half a lifetime in jail and $1 million fine. He says,
that is so ridiculous to me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It is. He says, but if you look at Aaron's history, any reasonable person would assume he was not going to sell this information. He wanted to free this information. Mm-hmm. And yet you have this insinuation that he may have wanted to profit from it. When Haman spoke in court about Watt, he highlighted Watt's supposed sociopathic tendencies by finding quotes from Mike Tyson and the movie Fight Club on Watt's MySpace page. And he told me, insinuating that Watt had created this data sniffing code to bring down the end of the country's financial institutions.
What?
Yeah. He said, then in closing comments, Watt said that he was not someone to feel sorry for. He had enjoyed a privileged background that his parents had read to him as a child. You know what? And of course, they're saying that kind of attitude is what contributed to Schwartz's suicide, and it's something that doesn't advance the pursuit of justice.
Really? We not feel bad for him because he had a good childhood?
He's talking about the Haman, not Schwartz. Jonathan Miles, also one of the other hackers investigated in the TJX investigation for which Watts did time, committed suicide as well, and he left a note. He says, I have no faith in the justice system. Perhaps my actions today in this letter will send a stronger message to the public. Either way, I have lost control over this situation, and this is my only way to regain control.
This is disgusting that we are pushing these guys and girls to do this sort of thing. They were freeing information that should have been free anyway.
Well, there's also a petition, like we were telling you guys last night on the This Week in Gaming, Carmen, what's her face? There's a petition to get her fired. There's also one up on WhiteHouse.gov to get Assistant U.S. Attorney Steve Haman fired as well. I think, and I have to agree with Stephen, there has to be some varying degrees in how you handle criminals because, as we said last night, they're being extra harsh on these guys as opposed to someone who is actually causing physical harm. And I'm not saying monetary harm is not bad, you know, if they stole credit cards. But that can be worked out. It's difficult for the people. It's stressful. But when you kill somebody's child – or their wife, their brother, their son, why are those people getting less time in jail than somebody who took some papers and he wasn't even selling them? In essence, it's the same equivalent of, you know, you people in the White House when you or your parents were protesting in the 60s outside of somewhere. They took you to jail, but they let you out the next day. This 35 years and $1 million fines is ridiculous. And sorry to say, you guys are about to lose your jobs. It's time for the dinosaurs to go back into the museum. There's Steve Haman. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You come over here and bother me. You're not going to upset me. I love when people try to rattle my cage.
You go right on ahead. She will totally take you on head to head.
Like I said last night, I got some ketchup and you got on Prada. Let's see how this works out.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what I want to show y'all, and oh my God, we love these people. This is just an amazing game. Always talking about it, and always makes us laugh every time we see it. Hockey Pirates!
It's
Hockey
Pirate time!
It's Hockey Pirates! Hockey Pirates introduces... Oh, hang on, I just got noise. I thought I had that muted. Hockey Pirates introduces new Cecil posthumous attack system. The life and death of a pirate is never plain sailing in this one-piece MMO. Online games developer and publisher InGames has today announced the introduction of a new Cecil skill system to browser-based one-piece MMO Hockey Pirates, allowing players to continue attacking even after they die. The huge Grand Line expansion of One Piece MMO Pocky Pirates is bringing more great new features and content to the Seafaring Adventure game. In this edition, soul skills are available to all players over level 40 and enable characters to unleash powerful Pokemon abilities. The Pocky Pirates battles never over until it's won. The biggest expansion to hit Pocky Pirates to date, the new Grand Line map faithfully recaptures famous Grand Line and Ocean Trial from the hit One Piece anime series, which Luffy and Co. sell for adventure. To unleash their sea skills, players must collect the new stones of sea soul, which can be found while searching.
I know, right? So what tongue twist is going on there? I'm like,
just a little bit. The new stones of sea soul, which can be found while searching for treasure in the Poneglyph mini game. Here, pirates also will be awarded with silver and prestige, allowing them to become not only powerful pirates, but wealthy ones to boot. Players gain access to five types of sea soul skill as they advance in level: Windy Sea, Crystal Sea, Flower Sea, Cloudy Sea, and Teary Sea, each imbuing pirates with the power to unleash unique, massive posthumous attacks. All right, so synthesizing stones increases their power levels, allowing pirates to unleash truly devastating skills even after their hearts stop beating. Each sea soul skill is extremely powerful, ranging from inflicting huge amounts of damage to the enemy or stunning them to healing teams or increasing their block rate. With this new layer of tactics, plucky pirates might even consider sacrificing themselves for the good of the group during the battle. Who knows what their death could inspire? All right, so this is the sea soul system, and it's for the plucky pirates. Yay!
Wait a minute, was it Pocky Pirates who liked, or was it Pocky Ninjas?
Well, I think about the same people.
You think? Uh-oh, we lost you.
Pocky Ninjas and Pocky Pirates? I think Pocky Pirates is the newer one from Pocky Ninjas.
I think Pocky Pirates is new because I don't
know. Did I fall out or something?
You went out. You went away for just a bleep. It could have been me that went away. You know how it happens.
I don't know.
All right.
But this script seems to keep going and going and going.
Ooh. What? Sorry, I put that in the wrong context. It is Friday. All right. Tons of other new delicious things going on. That game, I'm going to be able to talk sometime today. It's going to happen. I predict it. Oh, wait a minute. There's a whole bunch of juice. Now I managed to find my juice. Look at all these windows I had. Okay, first I got to tell you about this one. Okay, remember that game, the War Z, the whole debacle with Steam? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Dean Hall, who's the creator of DayZ, has been griping about his anger over Hammerpoint Interactive's the War Z. He wrote a response and posted it on Reddit and claimed that he was very angry about the similarities between his popular Arma 2 zombie survival mod and The War Z, and the negative impact he felt as a result of Hammerpoint's treatment of its customers. He says, "I'm quite hurt because anyone can see how similar the words are. And while the average gamer knows the difference, individual people don't." Individual people probably wouldn't be playing it there, Dean, just to let you know. He said, "I've had family members, close friends mistake the difference and confront me about what they believe was unethical behavior they thought I was making." See, again, not average individual people. These are still gamers and family members. "I don't think anyone can understand just quite how exasperated that can make you feel when you've gambled everything on something, put your whole self and reputation on the line, so it hasn't made my life very pleasant. And I disagree entirely with the conduct and how consumers have been treated." The War Z, of course, was pulled from Steam in December following allegations that Hammerpoint had deliberately misled users by listing features in its marketing materials that were not in the finished product. The initial response from the game's executive producer, Sergei Titov, intimated that users had simply misinterpreted the information, which we did talk to you guys about here posted up on Twitter.
I don't think that was so much misinterpretation.
No.
You wrote it out there.
Yes, as you wrote it and reread it, and it clearly said this. Titov later retracted his statement as an arrogant decision brought on by the scale of the War Z's early success. And this guy here, Dean, I think you're trying to capitalize, but you're doing it the wrong way. You're actually whining. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you capitalize and say, you know, you may not be able to have the worthy, but you can have Daisy and then go from there. Quit your whining. Nobody, I didn't even know who you were until I saw this story.
Whining.
I didn't know who he was. I didn't know you had a game. So obviously I wouldn't be coming up to you or saying anything to you. I could care less. Is the game good? Can I play it?
Yep.
That's what I want to know. Whining. I hate little whiny so-and-so.
Whiny little boys. All right.
The whole thing with the scrolls and the Elder Scrolls, that's what this is.
I know.
Shut up. Quit your whining. You can name your game what you want. It's not the exact name. God.
You cannot own a word. I'm sorry. You can't. You can't. I can say you can't own it.
Just
saying. Otherwise, I would totally own Ginger. All right. So, last night I noticed this when I logged into APB when we were hanging out with me and Corey after the show. If anybody else has noticed this, notice the new Steam Guides. Valve officially launches the Steam Guides. Valve has officially launched a guide tab in its community hub, allowing players to get some much-needed hints, tips, and tricks from fellow players. The new tab allows the Steam community to share helpful guides for their favorite games using text, video, and screenshots. While there are already 1,215 Steam guides that have been published as of this writing, there are also a fair share of complaints on the unmoderated nature of the section. Some users are complaining that because no one is moderating the guides, people can post whatever dumb stuff they want in the guide section. Still, there are plenty of decent contributions for various games. I'm just afraid that there are also going to be penises. I like this awesome game, awesome beginner's guide from Torchlight 2. There's also some handy sidebar checkboxes to allow you to pinpoint different kinds of information you might be looking for, like penises, apparently. Like information on how to get one of those more elusive Steam achievements. All right, so again, that is a new tab over on Steam. Check it out. That's kind of neat. I do think it needs to be moderated because, I don't want to see penis. I'm sorry. I don't want to see random penis, okay? Random penis. That's not very fun. You take a picture of that?
Well, if they feel they need to.
Did you drink the picture?
Just so you guys know, we don't really need to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so
Have a nice smile, and that will do it for us. Okay.
Exactly.
And a nice penis.
Yeah. Did you just know where it goes and how to use it and know all the bases of text? Okay?
We can't do this during the day, Ginger. They're at work.
That's true. Hands above the desk, boys. All right, so Halo 2, PC servers.
Is your turn again?
Yeah, I'm going to do a second one. I said so.
Fine, be that way.
I'm totally. All right, so Halo 2 PC servers to go.
Ooh, Gladys got by the throat.
According to an announcement from 343 Industries, who has ruined Halo, the community manager Jessica Shea posted on Halo Waypoint, multiplayer servers for this PC Windows version of Halo 2 will go dark on February 15th. Why would 343 Industries shut down those servers? Well, they say because nobody uses them anymore. She says, we're sad to report that the server's end date for Halo 2 multiplayer will be February 15th of 2013. We've been monitoring the population for months, and it's been peaking consistently at approximately about 20 players or less. Those that own this game can continue to enjoy multiplayer over LAN after that date. However, our network services will be turned off at that time. We love you, Halo 2 PC, and you will live forever in our hearts. Hashtag single tier.
I did. I called this one. I did.
You did.
I told you all, it's kind of the same premise as if you have a football team or soccer or a basketball team that is winning championships and you decide the next year to go replace every single player and then wonder why you don't go to the championship mm-hmm. the next year. That's what happened. And I don't dislike 343 Studios. I don't really know them. They were nice guys. We met them, other than that one assistant who needs to be fired. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, you can't come in here. Dude, do you know who we beat? No. No, we didn't. No, you did say that.
Said since,
you did say that.
I probably did.
But, you know, they took on a behemoth. You can't take on Halo. You have to grab something smaller and then turn around and make it better. There's really nothing to improve upon. It's Halo.
No, Halo was amazing. You started ruining it with your little love stories, all right? I played Halo for Master Chief. I did not play Halo for this nameless, whoever in the hell these other people are, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind getting them killed, and I'll shoot anybody in the head. But I played Halo for Master Chief and Katana. Actually, I'm saying their name wrong. Anyways, I played them. If you wanted to put a love story together, those two, I would have played their love story.
The thing is,
but these other two nameless people, I didn't even know who the hell they were, and they ran off with some baby alien. Come on, it was the weirdest thing ever.
There was no reason to take this game this soon anyway. Even if you had waited maybe 10, 15 years, because it was still too fresh, I think, for you to take it on. Way too new, way too fresh. Just leave it alone. Go find something else.
Cortana.
Hell,
Cortana. There we go.
Yeah, Cortana. I have been begging for somebody to take a whole bunch of games and redo them. Hell, can you give me Gladius back? There's one you could have taken on. That I, if you had made it good, I would have loved. I never got to finish it on the original Xbox, and God, you can't find an original Xbox anywhere nowadays, or one that works anyway. Mine doesn't. So there's other games you could have taken and said, you know what, this game came out in, you know, I don't know, 1985. Hell, what about the Pitfall Harry game? Who's going to remake that one? Who's going to do it? Remake Donkey Kong or something. Well, okay, don't do that. That would be bad. But you know what I'm saying. That was an elephant to eat with a straw. I mean, I told y'all that was going to happen. I didn't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was. It was not going to work. And I know all the guys at Bungie, they're brilliant. They're no longer. A lot of them are you know, dispersed to other companies. Of course, Max, who's going to cut me in not-so-fun ways. But you don't have your dream team together anymore. You can't create the dream anymore. It's just accept it. So I'm sorry, 343. I hope you guys are able to do something else. You're nice to guys. One of y'all needs to shave. I had to throw that in there. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I like you. I just don't like all that hair on your face. You're so cute. Stop hiding. Hide from us, little boy. Don't hide. Okay. This is from lack of sleep is what this is, okay, because I ramble anyway, but it's really bad today.
Yeah.
Okay, Codemasters, whom I both love and cannot stand at the same time, because of this very reason that I'm about to tell you, they are suffering from redundancies in their games. They've confirmed that they have entered a period of consultation, which would result in their staff layoffs. The redundancy, of course, is not for the games, it's the staff, but they do have redundant games. Can you all... Something just a little different. This is why you're laying people off. The move will affect the digital and publishing teams. One of the company, or actually in the company statement, they said as the company realigns its operations to focus on areas of increased strategic importance and decreased resources in areas that are not delivering value for the business, the company has purposed the restructure of certain aspects within its digital and development and publishing units and with the future product strategy. In short, all you bitches need to update your resume. You no longer work here. Okay. So as a result of the proposed restructure, the company has therefore entered into a period of collective consultation with affected employees, meaning we're going to tell you to your face that you fired. The restructure is not company-wide and is not anticipated to impact the development of its core console and PC titles, such as Grid 2, which I have never played. Anybody played Grid 2? Or its annual Formula One title. A strong source told our friends over at GI International that there were around 80 redundant jobs, the majority from Codemasters' Southam operation. That's in the UK, I believe. The 500-strong studio is responsible for the company's racing titles and houses the technology team and the online department. Cody's statement suggests that the latter, that they will be affected by the move. So those people over in that area will be the ones getting fired. I'm sorry.
That's always sad. I hate to hear that. I really do.
Yeah, plenty of room for y'all in Texas. Really, We got plenty of room. Mm-hmm. We got areas where don't nobody even live in Texas. Don't nobody know who lives there.
True story. We just have houses just sitting out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody lives in them.
Yeah, what was it? No, you weren't. Oh, I forgot you didn't get to ride with me when we went down to RTX. I was saying those are all the houses that the zombies are in underground when they release them. I had Danger dying laughing. Every time she'd be talking, I'd point out dead people live in that house, dead people, dead zombies, dead. She was like, stop it. And I bet you I counted better than 50. That's just between Houston and Austin.
Seriously.
We got plenty of room.
I geocache, and we've come across towns that are abandoned. Just beautiful old towns, and their houses and courthouses, and nobody there.
So just go. You just come on to Texas and just pick an area and go out and run the wire so that you have a nice Fios connection, and you can just build up a whole game in town. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty of room. And Ginger's
yes,
going to make you biscuits. Ginger's going to make the biscuits.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And she's going to make the biscuits and the tea, and I'll be on the porch.
Mm-hmm. Be so good. With the gun, keeping the zombies at bay.
I got to have my shotgun? Okay. Do I need a rocking chair, too?
Yes.
Because that's what makes it authentic. I'm going to sit in the rocking
exactly.
chair with my shotgun, like my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
That is so my grandmother. And you don't even see her. You just hear, what you want.
All right. Well, before we go, I've got one last trailer to share.
Ooh, yes.
Spellforce 2 Faith in Destiny DLC, The Golden Fool, is available to purchase today for the PC. Set before Spellforce 2 Faith in Destiny, The Golden Fool remains true to the RPG and RTS genre, delving deeper into the Spellforce world. The DLC explores the story of the Game of Stones, Drakkar. The DLC pack will be available to purchase on Steam from 6 p.m. today. $3.49, I think that's pounds. No, maybe that's euros. Anyways, in the second of the three DLCs, players can now join in the better battle as Carla, one of the non-playable characters from the main game, with the aim to win back the legendary Golden Fool Stone, the stone of which there is only one in existence, defeats every other stone, and ensures the holder will forever be the Drakkar champion. Each DLC offers players a different twist on the tale through elaborating on the backgrounds of those characters that are non-playable in the main game. That's coming from Gennaro Gianni, localization and production manager at Nordic Games. We've packed the Golden Fool with challenging puzzles and trickery, situations that will flummox even the most experienced of puzzle solvers. All right, so set in the Tucson Desert, the game has a genuine Spellforce feel where the thirst for power is now greater than ever. The Golden Fool is the most precious stone in the Amunkar's Game of Stones, where players must risk everything to regain it along with Carla's reputation as the Game of Stones champion. All right, so again, that is out today on Steam. Head over there and check it out. I've got it up on GameMatrix.com this morning. And I hope you enjoyed the trailer. Yay!
Yay! Okay. You know what? It's still early. Don't we have that 10 minutes left? I just want to tell y'all I signed up for my beta, and I'm not pleased that I haven't gotten an invite yet. Get on it, EA! It should have come instantly. It should have just been like, go ahead.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
I appreciate this at all. Anyway, we will see you guys bright and early Monday. Make sure you are here listening every day. Well, we're not on the weekends, and of course, it's not obvious. Hello, our new Twitch viewers. So welcome to our lives. Where else are we? God, we're everywhere. Google+.
We are everywhere.
And generally, if you watch, sometimes Ginger will throw up a Twitch of APB or Fallen Earth. If you want to play with us, just ask. Just do know that two things. We will get a rocket launcher when we're getting ready. And two, if you start acting crazy, you will find yourself on the wrong end of a block, and we will not speak to you. And we don't really care what you say. Now, anyway.
Wrong end of a concrete block. I mean, your shoes, buddy.
Oh.
I know where there's some water. Ooh, thank you.
Yeah, the water in those abandoned towns in Texas where nobody will fight.
This was a place for those in abandoned wells. Always my favorite people.
Do you know there's a town between here and Dallas that is exactly, get this, 20 feet long on the highway? It says you are now entering, I can't remember the name, and then 20 feet later it says you are now leaving, and there's nothing else there.
You know, that does not surprise me. I used to party in a town back as a teenager called Noodle, Texas. There were three residents, and they were all of one family.
Yeah, that's it. And it doesn't even have a population underneath. It's just you are now entering such as this welcome
and
visit.
They had a school. I was like, what the hell? How many kids have you got?
Two.
Whoa, yeah.
I love my state. It's so big. You know what? We should have a LARP like just for the whole state of Texas. Because it would be like EverQuest. You'd never see anybody. Once we get past the bigger cities and just turn you guys loose, man, you'd be lost for days trying to camp.
Exactly.
Bad.
Totally. Oh. And as the screen says, EA, where's Corey's invite? Invite her.
I need to do some spinning. All right, guys. See you guys Monday. Give me that.
Later, boys and girls.